Thanks for listening to the podcast. We hope you enjoy it. The show notes are included in the summary for each episode. Notes can be accessed from the Mobile Marketing Podcast link at the top and bottom of the dominoresearch.com website. If you like the podcast, please take a moment to help us out. Rate and review us on your preferred medium. We are currently available on iTunes, Google Play Podcast, Stitcher, and TuneIn Radio. Thank you. Hey there, and welcome to the latest episode of Mobile Wallet Marketing Made Easy, the podcast that helps you navigate the ever-changing landscape of mobile marketing. Hi there, and welcome to another one of our Best Of series. This week, we are talking proximity marketing, and we've got four rock-solid excerpts that you will absolutely love to hear. Proximity marketing is what we like to refer to as small market or micro-style marketing, since the customer or prospect is within a couple hundred yards, or meters if you prefer, of the location where you've placed an iBeacon. And it's very simple to use proximity paired with geolocation, which is more of a macro or wide market transmission that's based on GPS data in the mobile device. So small businesses, real estate agents, people in the retail space, they're always asking for more case studies with examples of how other businesses use proximity triggers and mobile messaging to push updates. So this week, we've chosen four of our favorite episodes for this Best Of series that will give you a plethora of ideas and hopefully some firm ground to stand on when you're planning your next proximity campaign. We know very well that life happens, and anytime you can make changes in real time, that helps you to keep your customers, your brand advocates, and others who get your updates on the right track. So in retail, for instance, using mobile updates on the lock screen will help your customers to continue to notice you. Daily promotions or standard in-store campaigns can be converted into stories that you tell through your mobile channel by using proximity or time-based triggers. We're also spending some time recapping iBeacons. We're going to talk a bit about geolocating in conjunction with the iBeacons. And of course, we are going to highlight some of the most efficient and practical ways that you can use the platform to see real results in short order.
So how exactly does that work?
Well, there are a couple of ways to use these iBeacons at a show. As part of the mobile marketing strategy is to build up your pass and your follows prior to the show. That way, attendees and prospects will see your messages on the lock screen and be notified immediately as they walk around.
So what exactly do you mean by building up followers prior to the show?
Well, I'm sure you're going to promote to visitors of your site and social media profiles that you are exhibiting at a booth. Let them know that if you add the pass before the show, they'll stay relevant with any changes that may be going on during the show by installing the pass.
Okay, so we're kind of talking about, at this moment, exhibitors. This isn't actually trade show management. This is more focused on I'm an exhibitor, whether it's a cannabis show or whether it's a podcast conference or whatever. You've already got a group of people that either follow you on social media, maybe they're in your email list or they're with you because they're good website traffic, and you have sort of prearranged with them by promoting the link or the QR code or the download for the update on their phone prior to their arrival at the show, right?
That's right.
Okay, cool.
That's right. And there are different ways to promote this. You can say, here an example is like stop by booth 123 at my trade show. Add the pass to the phone and you'll get real updates as you go along through the show. Pardon me.
So now let me ask you a quick question. Let's say that you are a sponsor and you've got a big giant booth and you're also going to have an event, and your event is you're going to have a happy hour on the third day of the show.
Yes.
Now, what if you use the mobile updates also as sort of pseudo event tickets, where when you tell people sign up to come to our event, your email confirmation sends them back a link that they'll click right from in their email, and it will drop their faux ticket, so to speak, into their phone. And now you, or what if you're going to do a drawing? Mm-hmm. Yeah, what if it's going to be, we're going to give away an iPad, or we're going to give away a MacBook, and you want to start promoting that well before you get to the show. So you go ahead and you tell them to add it to their phone, and then when they get into range of your booth, it's going to pop up a notification on their lock screen that says, you know, either click here to register, or don't forget to drop your business card into our fishbowl, or whatever it is. So you're going to be collecting leads by using the iBeacons and using the passes to generate interest that you started prior to the show, but now you're sort of turning it into an omni-channel lead magnet because you've moved it off your website or out of your emails. Yep. And into your actual exhibit space at the show kind of seamlessly.
In episode 59, we also talked about managing traffic flow at events. Only this time we focused more on making the best use of the lock screen notification systems than we did any other options. Lock screen notifications, when used judiciously, are a fabulous way to help keep your event attendees on track and moving in the direction that you want them to go next.
The event.
And mobile lock screen notifications are a brilliant way to promote your next show and get ticket sales kicked off in a subtle way that brings in major results. That is for sure.
Right, so let's talk about the typical trade show. You maybe have produced or hosted events before, or maybe you're getting ready to do your first one, and so you know there's so much work involved that it gets really crazy. So the first thing you need to do is get organized and stay organized. This is a major challenge. And we certainly know that keeping everyone involved on track sometimes becomes a nightmare.
Yes, things do happen. Venues change, speaker lineups change, new keynote speakers are added, timing is reworked, and if you have gone to print with everything, it can be tough to get the word out and make sure everyone knows about the changes.
You know, I would say that is really the single biggest issue facing trade show producers and event hosts. It's, you know, the fluidity that you need to run a successful show, especially if you don't have a huge staff or group of employees to run it.
Yeah, and most shows are running on a minimum of staff at the event. They're hiring temp workers, using volunteers, or working with venue staff and security who may not have any idea of what's being changed or what's happening in the background to create a need to update attendees, vendors, sponsors, or speakers about these changes.
Episode 50 was a landmark, both metaphorically and physically. We broke down all the ways that a museum utilizes iBeacons to enhance the user experience for both new visitors and season pass holders. Understanding how the user experience can be made to work is really a crucial part of getting your proximity marketing to present your brand message on point. You know, when Joe Plummer comes into the first room of the exhibit and he clicks the link on the page from the back of the pass, there's a linear list of items, and they're expandable items that detail the various pieces in the exhibit. And this is all rendered in HTML5, so it is completely compatible with iPhone, Android phone, BlackBerry, Windows phone, tablets, whatever.
Right. So these guys were working with, they were working on a shoestring budget on this implementation, and they really spent some time working out how to get the most out of the 10 iBeacons per pass limit. They also didn't want to rely on geofencing, which is also 10 locations per pass, since the museum itself can often block location signals from proper transmission due to the construction and furnishings in the building. It's also really hard to narrow down a geofenced location in a very small space. It's not just designed to do that. It's more of a broad location.
Yeah, but don't forget that the museum decided to put a geofence trigger on the front door of their two most competitive facilities, and that they throw up the offer that says Museum XYZ is offering a 50% discount on museum membership today. And, you know, the funny part about that is, so here you are, you're Joe, you're now standing in front of Museum ABC, and up pops a lock screen notification
from XYZ, and it gives you, based on what competitive museum you're standing in front of, a different offer code to redeem at the museum or online. So they're also able to track how many of the people go to another museum and end up joining their museum at a discount. Again, this shoestring budget, really smart in the way that they did the implementation.
Yeah, I mean, they were creative when they did this. They were relying on web pages to do the work for carrying the curation load. That left plenty of available triggers for other things. One big one that people apparently really appreciate is advance notice of where the restroom is. That this is not a closet in the exhibit.
The one that's closest to the exhibit.
Yeah. Again, with the Wi-Fi location tracking for signed-in devices, it wasn't hard to figure out that restroom usage pretty much doubled when people were told where to find them. So overall, time spent in an exhibit also went up. So perhaps not having a run around and find a toilet causes a person to spend more time looking at art. Who really knows?
Episode 89 is one of a number of programs that are devoted to helping our realtor and broker clients make the most of the mobile wallet and stand out when they host open houses. We spend a lot of time listening to what agents say they need to be more effective, and we're working constantly with our core group to better streamline the process of creating campaigns with proximity elements.
Right, and as I mentioned earlier, they can be time or location based. And if you recall on podcast 50, where we discussed using iBeacons in museums being used from exhibit to exhibit, you can get a real sense of how they can work in a day-to-day setting. Also, you may want to listen to episode 61 as we explain how realtors use mobile wallet marketing campaigns for lead generation.
Right. So, you know, and both of those episodes, the 50th anniversary or the 50th whatever you want to call it, episode about the museums and the iBeacons, or the other one with the realtors, you know, you can essentially lead a prospect through an open house via iBeacon notifications, just like you would lead someone as they were strolling through a museum. Obviously, a museum is a much larger venue than a house, so there is some creative thinking that is involved in setting these up to work for an open house, but used the right way, they provide a real value add to your marketing, especially if you have a busy open house.
Yeah, yes. I mean, a private tour is one thing with the realtor taking you around, but anticipated busy open houses or a new home, a realtor doesn't take you through the house. You can walk around freely, taking it all in.
Right. I mean, so, you know, now as you have people in the new home or in the open house walking around, you can utilize mobile wallet passes, you know, to welcome them straight away, right on the lock screen. So this does involve actually getting your property listing pass or your new neighborhood pass into their phones. These things don't work without some sort of positive steps on the side of the consumers, but we've got all kinds of episodes that detail how to sort that out and set that up and create those campaigns. So we're going to go under the assumption that you've already got mobile wallet passes in the phones. So Hazel, you spend a lot of time with some of our realtor clients. What do you think are the best places to put the iBeacons inside a new house or for an open house?
Yeah, well, thanks, Kim. Well, with the two best rooms that sells homes nowadays, which would be the kitchen and the bathrooms.
Okay, right again. So you're going to feature these spaces by telling them about something like a, you know, a marble waterfall drop on the island top, or maybe some super specific handcrafted cement tiles on a backsplash. I can see that.
Right.
So, okay, what other features besides upgrades in a kitchen or bathroom would you suggest?
Well, a wall feature like a fireplace. If there's any part of the home a realtor wants to showcase, you can let them know by using the iBeacon. You'll see by sending the right message at the right time, it's used as tech selling tool for realtors. I'll say that again. Tech selling tool for retail.
Yeah, and there is a little bit of tweaking to the power levels of the iBeacons that we can do to help you get a more feature-specific lock screen notification.
Yes.
So the passes can be set up as a tool to guide prospects at open houses. So let me ask you another question. When would the ideal time for a prospect, and we talked about this before, it's a positive action. When would you suggest that you try to get your prospects to add the pass?
Okay, well, the best time to add the pass would be as they enter the home or by the sign in the area outside of the home.
Okay.
Now, that's just one time in the lead generating process to do this. There are moments to distribute the property pass. A real estate agent can send it through their recent newsletter. If they send an email, you can put the property pass on that. Even when you do a social media blitz, when you do your paid ads, let's say through Facebook, when you go to do that ad, you can also have, I think you mentioned in another podcast episode, you can have like the link to get the pass on like the top or bottom of the newsletter.
Yep,
or
yep,
email.
Yep, definitely.
Well, I would do the same thing in the social media paid ad as well. A great way to install the pass is not only with your short URL, but also as the QR code, so you can scan that easily. We see that
for
a lot.
For like print ads.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. We see that a lot in the print ads, those postcards that come to your home. So there are like multiple ways to do that with the pass, and that's distributing the pass easily. And another superb feature is that once it's added, you're all ready to receive the notifications without having to go through your settings to do so, or even to go through your emails again.
Thanks for listening to this Best of Proximity Marketing episode. We really appreciate it, and we'll see you on our next episode.
Thanks.